This City Wire podcast is sponsored by Scottish Mortgage Investment Trust. Scottish Mortgage invests in some of the world's most promising and exceptional companies, from healthcare breakthroughs to electric vehicles to a green energy revolution. Scottish Mortgage takes stakes in businesses shaping our future economy and society. Scottish Mortgage is considered the flagship trust of Edinburgh-based investment managers Baillie Gifford and is the UK's largest investment trust. As with any investment, please note capital is at risk. To find out more, please visit scottishmortgageit.com.
Hello, my name's Sean Schaefer and welcome to The Wealth Show from Citywire. In this episode, I spoke with Stephen Yu, manager of the Blue Whale Growth Fund. Stephen spoke about his narrow escape from both Meta and PayPal, with both companies recording disappointing results last week, causing their share prices to nosedive. Meta had been a top three holding in the Blue Whale strategy only a matter of months ago. Facebook was one of the largest holdings before you sold out of the stock. Why did you decide to sell it before its recent results were released? And did you completely sell out of the stock?
Yeah, so Facebook has been a holding in the fund since we started in September 17. And over the last couple of years that Facebook, I mean, people would have noticed that it has been in the top 10 holdings for most of the time. But I think last year, running into this year, that we started to have some concerns about the iOS changes in privacy space. And at the same time, it just increased competition from different social media platforms such as TikTok. And I think the most important trigger late last year was when Facebook or Meta decided to change the name to Meta, which implied that they're going to spend so much money in building the metaverse that might materialize at some point, and assuming that they could be the winner, which is uncertain. And I think all this matter just come together that create uncertainty. And the way that we go about sizing our holdings or assessing the thesis is once a quarter, we will do a preview before the results. And I think it's just coming into this quarter before they reported this week that we decided that maybe it's time to exit a position, because I think the thesis is a bit violated, or maybe we do have a less conviction in terms of how Facebook is going to play perform going forward.
So that shift to the metaverse, does that mean you're quite cynical on the prospects for the metaverse?
Yeah, I think that's a big debate, isn't it? I mean, I'm a believer of a metaverse at some point, I mean, maybe in my lifetime. But I think the question with the metaverse is how long it's going to take before it materializes in a sizable way, which means that most people would use it in a way that it become quite profitable business or a platform. But a question for Facebook is, because they don't own the operating system, such as, let's say, the Apple iOS or the Android owned by Google, they have to do something from scratch. And as we already know that Apple and Google and also Microsoft are working on something similar. So when you have a company which basically Facebook spent about $10 billion last year, and they're going to continue to spend tens of billion dollars in the next many years until the metaverse materialize, that we don't actually know whether they could become the ultimate winner. Because if they do, then it makes sense that you might want to invest into Facebook or Meta, because they would be able to become the market leader within the metaverse. But the problem is that the starting competitive positioning in that space, given that they don't own the mobile operating system, is probably a bit weaker. So I think from a shareholder perspective, or from our perspective, that we like certainty, we like something that is tangible. I mean, we do like the digital advertising business within Facebook in a way, but I think the metaverse is very much of an unknown. So I think I'm a believer in the metaverse, but whether Facebook is going to be the ultimate winner from the metaverse, I'm not sure.
So obviously, an astonishing amount has been wiped off its market cap, about $200 billion there. You know, looking at the flip side, with that significant dip, is there a bit of a buying opportunity there?
Yeah, I think that is something that we do monitor closely because, I mean, from I mean, our approach basically covers about 100 companies in our universe. And at any one point in time, we invest into the best of 25 or 35 companies. At the moment, we have about 25 companies in the fund. And where Facebook sits now is it goes back to our universe that we monitor very closely. And I think at some point, maybe give it another, I don't know, a year or two, I think when things started to clear out and we get a better picture of where the company is going to head towards, then maybe we can justify the valuation. But at the moment, whatever you're looking at, surely the shares is down over 20% this week. But then it doesn't mean that it's gone cheaper, because I think the certainty of the earnings growth trajectory in the next 5 years is very unclear. And you just can't put a number in it now, given the uncertainty. But I'm sure at some point, if Zuckerberg, the management team, continue to do a good job, or maybe manage to recover from where they are here now, then it could become attractive again. But it's just at the moment, it's unclear.
And did you completely sell out of the stock? Because it was a very high holding in your fund beforehand, sort of approaching 7% of the portfolio.
Yeah, so we had Facebook as a top 10 holding last year. And I think approaching this year, it was no longer in the top 10, given our concerns. So by the time that we exited the position completely, just before the results, it was only about 1%.
Zuckerberg was talking about the growth of TikTok as a competitor. I mean, are you likely to invest in one of Meta's competitors?
I don't think there are many competitors, because firstly, you can't actually
Snapchat.
TikTok.
You can,
yeah. I mean, we wouldn't, obviously, because I think the competitor, so let's go back slightly. So TikTok, you can't invest into that directly because it's unquoted. And then secondly, I think Snapchat or even Twitter or maybe Pinterest, they are too small as in not just the company itself, but in terms of their competitive positioning, in terms of how well entrenched they are within the digital advertising space, is quite small. I mean, they're not a market leader, because I mean, even Facebook has not done well in market, I mean, in share price terms, but they still are a significant player within the digital advertising kind of dollars. They compete directly with Google, etc. But what we actually like now within the digital advertising space, which is one of our top 10 that we have been adding to it, is Google or Alphabet. And I think Alphabet, in a way that we think, I mean, we have held Alphabet or Google over the last 4 years since we started, and currently Google is sitting in our top 10. And I think historically throughout our journey, you would have hear people saying, oh, Google is a fang, Facebook is a fang, Netflix is a fang, or all the fangs does well at the same time, or they don't do well at the same time, etc. But I think what happened recently with the demise of Facebook and PayPal and also Netflix, in contrast to the very strong set of results from Google, then I think you probably it's fair to say that maybe Google or Alphabet have graduated from the FANG phenomenon that is actually proven to be a much stronger and better quality company than it appears to be before. So I think from this point onwards, that Google on an equivalent basis could be similar to Microsoft.
Moving on to you mentioned PayPal there as well. Why did you sell out of that stock before these results, where the shares tumbled by about a quarter?
Yeah, so we were quite fortunate as well in the context of PayPal, but in terms of our process, in terms sizing the position, revisiting the thesis before the quarterly earnings, etc. I mean, that is the same as what we have done for Facebook. But then the problem with PayPal is like we have a couple of issues. I think one is is increased competition within the payment space, because if you recall, when PayPal was spin off from eBay in 2015, there weren't many. I mean, I think PayPal was a de facto payment wallet in a digital space. But since then, we have seen Apple Pay, Google Pay, Android Pay, I mean, name it, there's so many different wallets out there. And PayPal no longer is the dominant leader within the digital payment space. I mean, it's still quite a decent company, but it just increased competitions. And then secondly, we didn't like the Pinterest, the rumor Pinterest deal last year that we thought like is a massive change of direction in terms of what we expect PayPal should do or should focus on. Luckily, that deal didn't happen, but I think it destroyed a lot of credibility for the company in terms of the outlook.
You mentioned these other wallets coming into play, sort of Apple Pay, Amazon, etc., Android Pay. You know, is the writing on the wall for PayPal? Who? Why is there a demand for PayPal at all?
I think the answer to that is less. the competition means that there's just more choices for consumers, and I think if you follow PayPal, I think what they're trying to do is they try to make PayPal wallet as like a super app. So they introduced the crypto trading. You can buy Bitcoin on PayPal's wallet. You can
sort of a bit like Revolut.
Yeah, you can do buy now and pay later. And I think at some point this year, they're going to introduce stock trading like Robinhood, that you can do some sort of Robinhood on PayPal as well. But I think the problem with all these ancillary services is they are not going to be significant in terms of profit-making opportunity for PayPal. It's really just to keep people engaged within the app. The last but not least, which I think is more of an ongoing concern from today, is the credibility of the management team. So Dan Schulman has been running the company since the spin-off. He has been one of the most well-respected, and I think in our context, exceptional CEO over the course of the last many years. But if you look at where the share price of PayPal now post for this week, that basically it tracked the NASDAQ 100 index since 2015. So what it's saying or implying is Dan Schulman, despite his exceptional contribution to the success of PayPal, that he has not delivered outperformance for shareholders. And he is now 64 this year. He's been running the company for the last 8 years. Is he going to retire? It's likely. Who is that a credible succession planning within PayPal? Zero, to our knowledge. No one could step up to the big shoes within PayPal. So if he does retire in the next, I don't know, couple of years or maybe next couple of quarters, then maybe it's more likely that they need to get someone external to run the company, some high-profile candidate, but then it's unclear what this person might do.
Let's move on to Amazon. Obviously, you sold out of Amazon last year. The share price is now creeping back up again. It's saying that it's going to raise the price of Prime membership. The market's been pretty positive on that. Strong growth in its cloud business. Are you experiencing seller's remorse there?
Yeah, probably not. I mean, obviously, I think if you're just looking at the share price in itself, I mean, that probably paints a different picture. Right? I mean, we always want to just own shares that goes up rather than goes down. I think that's just mathematical. But I think if you focus on the fundamental of the business, I think nothing has changed from our perspective. Because I think the thing is like, yes, I think the cloud business, AWS, has not done badly. But if you compare the AWS performance versus Microsoft Azure and Google Cloud that reported over the last 2 weeks, I mean, the numbers are much stronger in those two companies versus Amazon AWS on a relative basis. And then secondly, the retail business is never that attractive to start with. And if you put it in numbers term, in terms of how much price is going to raise for the Prime subscribers, about, $20 a year, number of users in the US, I mean, that doesn't actually cover the cost, the increased cost of running a retail business. Because, I mean, you would think that we are literally going, if we're in the US, our Prime subscribers, we're going to pay about $2 more per month to be a Prime member. But what you get as a Prime member is the same day delivery, maybe even the 1 hour delivery. If you live in New York, you get the Prime video subscription for free. There's a lot of freebies. And that $2 a month, I'm not sure whether it covers the increase in wages for warehousing, the logistics and all that stuff. A I mean, we track our direct competitor quite closely. And so, you know that Terry has gone to Amazon late last year, which he's probably going right. But if you look at his recent top 10, that he does have both PayPal and Facebook on his top 10, which I think from my estimate is over 10% of the fund in total.
Do you think that's now a bit of a differentiator between you two now?
I think in terms of the kind of, I wouldn't say that we are a bit more in sync with some of this opportunity because we are a bit younger relatively to his generation. But it's funny, isn't it? Because like PayPal, Facebook and Amazon has been in the fund since we started. And I think Terry added Facebook maybe a bit a year late after we started the fund. And then he recently added Amazon, which we exited. And then he still have Facebook and PayPal on his top 10. And then we have completely exited and look at the share price performance. And then also he recently added Alphabet, which is quite interesting. It's a good company. So we would think that that's a good decision. But I mean, he could have added that 4 years ago. I mean, nothing have changed. But anyway, I think it's a different implementation of philosophy. But I think the questionable holdings now is really PayPal and Facebook.
So obviously you've cut a couple of companies from your portfolio, some pretty major holdings there. What are you doing to fill the void?
So we have increased our position in some of our existing names, such as Alphabet, Google, that we like, and also Nvidia. I think I might have talked about this before already, a new top 10 last year. And then recently, we also introduced a new top 10 to the fund, Charles Schwab, which is the largest investment platform in the US. I mean, we like the synergies they're doing with TD Ameritrade. At the same time, I think they would be a net beneficiary from interest rate going up from this point onwards. So, and the valuation is looking very attractive in its own way. So that is somewhere, some places that we have redeployed the capital into.
Moving on with the interest rate comments, obviously of running a growth fund in an inflationary world, how do you do that? Are there any plans to pivot away from some of your tech names at all?
I think it's a big question. It's a big topic to discuss because I think if you follow what happened in January or even including some weeks in February this year, is there's been a big sell-off of companies that appear to be grouped into the same bucket as like a growthy, like or tech branded company. But I think what you are going to see from this point onwards is there's going to be a massive differentiation between growthy tech, highly profitable business model versus growthy tech that is unprofitable or speculative. And I think the example that I would use as a proxy is the ARK ETF run by Cathie Wood in the US. I mean, just look at how much of that ETF in terms of share price has fallen. It's over 50% over the last 6 to 9 months. But then many of these companies that she owned, I would probably speculate could disappear because the competitive positioning is very weak to start with. Secondly, they're just burning cash to try to build a business from nowhere and hoping that at some point they are going to be the dominant leader in that market, but it's unproven. So I think when you have the inflation issue, which will lead to interest rate going up, then a lot of this risk or speculative asset would get repriced. But the question is, equally, Microsoft shares, what has been sold down throughout the last couple of weeks? But if you look at the fundamental of Microsoft, that nothing have changed. And I think the recent acquisition, announced acquisition that they're going to acquire Activision shows the strength. I mean, they're going to pay $70 billion, which you can argue that maybe they're overpaying given the market environment. But that $70 billion is basically the cash that's sitting on the balance sheet doing nothing. And Activision
With that deal as well, are you concerned that it might not go through?
It might not go through, but either way, it's not going to move a needle too much for Microsoft. I mean, if it goes through, I think it will be beneficial because it will be earnings accretive of a few percent. It's still not very significant. But at the same time, I think it strengthened the Xbox business, which is really doing really well for Microsoft. But then if they haven't got it, I mean, it's still fine. I mean, Microsoft will still do what it does.
Well, Stephen, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
This CityWire podcast is sponsored by Scottish Mortgage Investment Trust. Scottish Mortgage invests in some of the world's most promising and exceptional companies, from healthcare breakthroughs to electric vehicles to a green energy revolution. Scottish Mortgage takes stakes in businesses shaping our future economy and society. As with any investment, capital is at risk.